Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Let's see. Let's play Who's the Dumbass here.
All right.
Ooh, that's a fun game.
It is.
Video of a Taco Bell customer complaining that the restaurant worker wouldn't take her order 3 minutes after closing is going viral. Okay, so she rolls up. It's 3 minutes past closing. They say,
sorry, we're closed.
Yep.
And she's angry and demands to speak to management.
So ask for a number.
Yeah. So the employee gave his own number instead of the corporate number.
Brilliant.
Very smart.
And then he pretended to take her complaint.
I love it. All right, I'm already on his side.
Me too.
Yeah, so far, he's the smartest.
All the while typing on a keyboard just for effect.
To make it sound like he's logging a complaint. That's brilliant. I'm sorry. This guy's going to go far in life.
Here's the actual call from the video.
I know the threat of a race there high because I go in there every single night around the same time. The fact that they couldn't even take my order, they at all. I mean, you guys lost out on business. We're hungry. We have an ALZO. We probably would have bought like $20 to talk about just two people, maybe even 30.
That is awesome.
That is some hard typing.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, he wins.
He's doing it so hard. He's just mocking her. Like,
So dumbass count is her.
Yeah, yep. I agree.
Yep.
He was smart not to talk either. He didn't talk too much or ask too many questions.
No, just let her talk.
She'd be like, you know, you sound familiar.
Right. This seems like a local number that you had me call.
Also, he must have released the video.
Yeah. Right?
I would think that maybe it was like another worker was like, oh, I'm recording all
of this. Yeah, it was a TikTok video.
You're a legend for this one.
Yeah, it's a TikTok video, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's filmed behind him. Like, dude, run the camera.
You should get the employee of the month.
Definitely. Yeah. Manager. Oh, yeah. Manager material right there.
If you roll up late, even if it's 3 minutes late, you're late.
I mean, it's 4 o'clock in the goddamn morning. If you couldn't get there before 4 o'clock in the morning.
I've been on the other side of that, where you roll up on a place and they just close.
Yeah. But I just leave. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm disappointed. I'm like, really? You're not going to help me? Okay. It's not great when you're hungry.
Yeah. Plus, though, do you really want to irk someone who's going to be touching your food?
Yeah. And I don't say, let me talk to management.
No.
Like, all right. You suck, but yeah. I'm going to go.
I'll go find a convenience store and put in a microwave burrito.
Mm.
Take my chances.
Oh, man, we could have used that here.
I love it. I love
the email of your manager. Yeah, it's Chaz.
Oh, we should make
one. It's a coincidence.
Right.
We should make one just manager at WPLR or something.
Yeah, right.
And it redirects to us.
Right. And then delete.
No, we got to read them first.
Oh, absolutely.
Our greatest hits, our best email of the week.
This one says AJ can't speak.
Ah. Right. So does this one, and this one, and this one, and this one.
You know what would be even better is like just a generic like manager at Gmail, and then we can have everyone like whenever you get a complaint at your job, just give them this, and we'll read it.
Yeah, read some of the good ones.
We'll get all the drama.
The email of the week.
There has to be something out there. The companies must have this, right? The fake, like, oh. Like, I always wonder when I see those trucks. It's like, you know, like my driving or,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
That number in the back.
Yeah, the number on the back.
Yeah.
I just wonder, what happens when you call that number?
Try it sometime.
Mm. It's that joke where it's like, oh, this is the suggestion box, and you put the paper in, and then it's just a paper shredder.
Actually, it'd be funny. It goes right to the driver who's driving. All of a sudden, the guy locks his brakes up. Oh, I guess it is him.
This is another one of those guests whose life could be a movie. And you just never know where to start with someone like this. So we're going to start with Betty White. Donna Kaufman is on the show now. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Nice to speak to you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Yes.
What was your connection to Betty White?
Well, I came to Los Angeles, where I am now, in the I guess, mid-70s, and I got a job working for her husband, Alan Ludden, who had a game show production company with Mary Tyler Moore's husband, Grant Tinker. And we, my boyfriend and I, and Alan's secretary, wrote questions and had run-throughs. The idea was to try to sell a game show, because at that point, Alan had been hosting Password in different forms since the early 60s, and that's when he first met Betty, and then they just fell in love, and they were together. And so I was with Betty when she got the job on the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Wow.
Yeah, that was just so, I mean, so obvious. You know, she came in to do a one-shot deal, and by the end of the taping, they said, no, you're going to be a regular. You know, you're too good.
Oh, so she was going to be a cameo.
All right, that's beautiful. Yeah.
What was her character?
Sue Ann Niven.
Yep.
The happy homemaker.
It was kind of slutty and mean.
Yes. The exact opposite of Rose Nyland on The Golden Girls.
Yeah.
So in that one, in that show, Rue McClanahan played the slutty, crazy one. But the original Mary Tyler Moore show with Ted Knight and Ed Asner and Captain Steubing.
Kevin MacLeod, yes.
Yeah. Just wonderful. So our game show, meanwhile, we're trying to sell these shows, and we would have run-throughs, and various celebrities would come in. There was no cameras, just, probably an open bar, if I remember right, and just a lot of fun working through how to develop a game in the office. And we'd have people like Doris Day and
Lucille Ball,
Dinah Shore, Fred Astaire, Carol Burnett. I mean, people would just, David Letterman, they'd just come in to play with us. And Betty was always there. So I got to know Betty very well. And then at that time, Alan had three children from a previous marriage. His wife had died. And he was basically estranged from his kids at that time. My boyfriend and I and the secretary were all that same age as Alan's kids. So we became like their surrogate kids. And we would leave the office and go to their house. And guess what we'd do every night after dinner? We'd play Password.
Ah, that's great.
And now, because of her death on the 31st of December, and in honor of her, what would have been her 100th birthday on January 17th, the network Buzzer TV has been airing all of her episodes. And from Password, Password Plus, and both of those were hosted by Alan, and then Super Password, which was hosted by Bert Convy after Alan developed cancer and couldn't work. They were just wonderful. Betty was one of those people that you really wanted to get as a partner because she wanted you to win. She was so witty. She was so quick on her feet and so passionate about playing games and doing the best for these contestants. She left everyone in the wind. But, I've been taping them on my DVR. I must have 40 of them. lined up to watch.
Wow.
And one of them was black and white, where Alan was in New York at the time, and Betty was just, an actress, kind of not quite making it, but, doing plays and doing this and that. And she got cast, she was brought in as a celebrity, and you could just see the sparks flying with these two. And that night, they went out to dinner. He said, why don't you marry me? And she said, no. And then he kept hounding her for a year. Meanwhile, they were together every minute. She was divorced, and Alan was a widow with these three kids.
Why didn't she didn't want to commit to him, right? Because she was committed to her career.
Yes. But then he said, but you don't have to give up anything. In fact, I'm your biggest booster. And he always was. When I knew Alan, nobody was a bigger booster for Betty's career than Alan. I mean, he would buy her clothing. He would make her look. He did everything for her. He really was so proud of her. And so she finally gave in and married him. And then the whole rest of their 16 years together, she would always say, why did I wait? I could have had an extra year with him. Of course, she did have the year, but they weren't married. But, you know, it was one of those wonderful, loving relationships that made you think, gosh, it's possible. It's possible. Have, you know, two people who are madly in love and never wavered a day. I never saw them have an argument even.
Well, I was going to ask you, had you ever seen Betty White angry?
I've seen her miffed. Like if somebody brought up, if there was a news story about somebody mistreating an animal.
Oh, wow.
That
would make it go
that
off big time, yeah.
And it would, you know, my passion for animals.
You don't want to see
Betty
White angry.
Now I must kill you.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Became Betty Dark.
Betty White is the Hulk.
Now this goes back to the 70s, and when you walk in their house, there's a closet there, and I remember hanging up my coat and seeing a whole bunch of fur coats in there. And thinking, oh, my God, you know, because even then it was, like, not cool to wear a fur coat. But,
yeah.
You know, what was she going to do with them? So I always wondered, what happened to all those coats in that closet? I never did find out.
That's
but, no, she was the real deal when it came to being an advocate for animals. And I live in L.A. We have the L.A. Zoo, and there's a whole wing named for Betty. And people are making huge contributions and even small contributions to the LA Zoo and to any kind of animal charity, including Elaine Boozler's talesofjoy.net. And they're just people in Betty's name making even a $5 donation.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Animals.
On her 100th birthday,
yep.
People were donating money to animal shelters. What a beautiful tribute to her.
Mm-hmm.
Donna Kaufman is on the show, and you had a take on Bob Saget. Had you ever met Bob Saget?
Oh, sure, in the comedy clubs. And also I worked on a whole bunch of late-night TV shows as a writer, and so he would come on as a guest. And
which shows did you work on?
Well, I worked on Arsenio and Saturday Night Live and Mad TV, and
who was on set?
Leno and Letterman, and
So like all the ones,
the bigs,
yeah.
All of them, yeah.
The
Rick Dees. Rick Dees had a talk show for a while.
I remember that.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. So did he.
I remember
that.
That
was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The Saturday Night Live when you were writing for that show, who was on the cast?
Well, I specifically was brought in to write Weekend Update for Kevin Nealon. And it was, I think, the best time. There was Phil Hartman there and David Spade, Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, Julia Sweeney. Chris Farley. So it was that era. Ellen Claiborne.
I know it's hard because you're going in every day and you're seeing these people. It's hard to get the gravity of what you're around, like Mount Rushmore comedians, that names that will live forever. Did you sense that you had that there?
I did. And, you know, it was like scary, intimidating, and awesome at the same time. All of it was because I was in L.A., and so they would have to fly me in for the tape weeks and put me up in a hotel. And it was like I kind of came in as a joke writing, hired gun.
Yeah.
So it was wonderful.
Okay,
I really
so you weren't on the staff.
This was 92, 93.
Yeah, 92, 93.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in office then? It was that Bill Clinton?
Probably just got in. Just getting in.
Yeah. Nobody has written more Clinton jokes than me. And you can imagine.
He wrote himself, actually.
Yeah, he helped you.
Yeah.
He helped you.
His
daily life, yes.
I will always be grateful and also a little horny for him because he's tremendously attractive, obviously.
Mm. Not anymore. It's like someone took the life out of
him. I can hear your temperature rising.
Yeah. Seriously. Let me put a temporal scanner on you for a second here.
So the Bob Saget theory that you had, no one's discussed this.
No, nobody has. So I know this because my co-author on several books now is Dr. Cyril H. Wecht, who is a forensic pathologist, meaning he's done 62,000 death cases. He's an autopsy doctor. So I know about autopsies, and I know how long it takes to get, you know, the results back. And even though Bob died in Florida, it's going to take maybe 10 weeks before we have all the info gathered to figure out what happened. However, based on what they saw in the room and based on a few other things, it's likely that he died of a heart attack. Now, his father and his three uncles died of heart attacks. His uncles died of heart attacks between 37 and 41 years old.
I didn't read this anywhere. Did anyone read this?
No, not at all. No,
I didn't know this.
No.
This is from TMZ. They really wrote a big thing about
it. You should probably read them.
Yeah.
I heard of them.
Yeah.
And Bob's own father, who smoked six packs of cigarettes a day, ended up having a massive heart attack.
It's not possible.
You're getting more smoke than air at that point.
Yeah, you're using a cigarette to light a cigarette.
I know. How?
No, that's where you light one. You put it down in the ashtray and you let it burn, and you light another one,
right,
and that one in the ashtray is still burning.
You're more absent-minded.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But you know what? He knew he had these health problems, and he had just had COVID in December, somewhere around December, and it was so bad that he thought it was Omicron, the current one now.
The big
one. So in L.A., yesterday we had 59 deaths in L.A., 59 deaths of COVID. And we have, I can't even count. I've lost 10 friends from COVID.
Oh,
sorry about that.
So it's crazy. And so the reason he went on a 22-city tour is what? Why? You just got over COVID. You know you have, you know,
I see what you're saying.
Your organs,
the COVID,
to weaken them.
If you're hit hard with COVID, it stresses your heart and other organs. He has COVID, just getting over it, heart disease, history in the family, and then he goes on the road.
Yeah, perfect storm, bad.
Yeah.
Even though he wanted to get back into life, you know, look at the price you paid.
Mm. Yeah, should have waited.
Well, I didn't hear that theory.
Yeah,
it's an interesting one.
We'll find out if it had a factor, you know, in another couple months. It takes that long for them to do all the testing to find out. But, you know, he came from L.A. He had been in Florida, another city in Florida, and then he died in Orlando. And he died the way that we all want to go, you know, quietly in your sleep.
Had a great show.
65.
Yeah, had a great show the night before, too.
Yeah.
You know,
he was a heck of a stand-up.
I mean,
people who just know him from, you know, his G-rated sitcom, they would be surprised to hear what a little potty mouth he had.
Yeah.
But he was really funny, and he knew his audience. He was a sweet, sweet man.
Well, we got to go. Donna, I love your energy, and we want to have you back real soon and talk about your book.
Oh, thank you. Well, my book, JFK Assassination Dissected, me and Cyril Wecht, an analysis by forensic pathologist Cyril Wecht.
Oliver Stone
wrote the foreword.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
All right, we'll talk to you real soon, and we're linked up on the radio station website. Thank you. Jimmy Coppock, Live Nation Counts of God. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So we were talking to you at 9:30, and you were telling us that a KISS date was coming, and it has been announced.
Yes, May 14th, Saturday night, May 14th at Xfinity.
Saturday night, KISS.
Party night.
Party night.
That was Friday night.
It is party night.
It is party night.
Friday night, party night.
KISS fans, every night's party night.
True. It could be a Tuesday. Still, yep.
That's exciting. So if you have tickets from the show from 2021,
or
was that August? Was it August?
It was actually 2020, if I remember correctly.
Right, the original date. But then,
it got moved to October of 2021, and then COVID hit one of the band members. So it got moved to 2022. So this show is actually 2 years old already.
The show, 2 years in the making. KISS!
Wasn't there a hurricane or some kind of a storm at some point, too? There was all kinds of stuff going on.
Pestilence, locusts.
Yeah.
I've had hurricane issues, but not. I don't remember with Kiss.
Oh, see,
no. The if you had,
right. You might be right though. I don't remember.
If you had the ticket for the 2020 and never returned it for the or exchange it for the 2021, can you just show up with a 2020 ticket and get in, or do you need the 2021 ticket?
Nope. They're both good.
Awesome.
That's wild.
Thank God.
This may be the first show in your career where there are three different tickets with three different years.
Oh, you're right. I never thought about that. But I'm sure you're right on that.
Oh. It's historic.
In all of the shows Jimmy has done.
It's historic.
This will be the first show of people walking. Yeah, I got 2020.
Yeah.
2021.
But 2019, you're out.
2022.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Well, it'll take a long time to get people in because we have to check dates.
Oh, yeah.
When we're checking tickets, you're like, oh, my gosh.
So arrive at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's wild.
For 8 o'clock show.
That is really wild. It's a weird time.
Yeah, it is a weird time. Things are just not the same.
David sent me an email before you came on, was wondering if Kiss has an opener. I know you mentioned this before.
I'm sure they'll have an opener. No, I'm not sure they'll have an opener. I would think they'll have an opener, but don't know at this point who it is.
And then sometimes they just walk out and it's
no opener.
Well, it's tough to have a Kiss opener because their stage equipment just takes up so much space.
Right.
That's some kind of a kazoo.
Yeah, and you know, it takes time to move the opening act off the stage and put their stuff on the stage. So it could be an evening with Kiss. It could end up being an evening with Kiss.
They had that artist was supposed to be the last one. Who's going to do that big painting.
Yes. Oh, right.
Which was good cool. Thinking. Yeah, which is great, which doesn't take up a lot of space.
And he was making a Kiss picture.
And then they blow him up right at the end.
Yeah. He stepped on a flash pot.
That was awesome! That was awesome, man! Wow, I just saw a boot land in the third row.
Oh, man, so that'll be great. Kiss, May 14th, Xfinity in Hartford. Is that sold out, or was it sold out?
No, it was not sold out. All the seats were sold out. There were still lawn tickets, but people have returned the seats and got refunds, so now there were seats available also.
Now, how do you go about doing that? Just go on Live Nation?
Yeah, just go on LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster.com, either one. You can buy tickets.
Cool.
Bon Jovi announced a tour. Is there a Connecticut date yet, or is there one being worked on?
No, there's nothing being worked on right now. It's really in parts of the country that are, you know, the southeast, if I remember correctly, and the southwest, and parts of the country that there's nothing in the northeast. So I guess his northeast leg will be later in the year.
Oh.
But right now we have heard nothing.
Nothing? Like no phone call?
None at all. None at all, which is a little odd.
A little too quiet.
Because he always plays Mohegan Sun and loves Mohegan Sun. So my guess is that when he decides to go east, which we don't know yet, he'll probably be back at Mohegan Sun.
He once started his tour there, right? And
he started a number of tours there.
Right.
But we had a snowstorm the night that he was supposed to start a tour, and he did a show for just the people that were in the casino.
I heard that. That is just so cool.
Very cool.
That's what makes him so popular. He is the people's artist. There's no question about it. He's very friendly. He has lots of meet and greets. He loves his fans. He really does.
Mammoth VH, we're giving away tickets this week. Those tickets are on sale now for Toad's Place March 27th. How is that selling? Is that close to a sold out?
It's getting close to selling out.
Wow. Which means it'll sell out.
Yeah.
It will sell out in advance, I think.
People are last minute. We are all last minute. It's the week of, like, hey, what are you doing?
I know. Let's go see MSVH.
Yeah.
Just like that. I don't think there'll be anything available the week of.
So get them now if you want to go.
Do it.
We were hinting around last week about a former singer of Van Halen who would be coming to Bridgeport. Is there more information on that yet, or when can we? I heard Monday.
We hope it's Monday. We think we'll announce on Monday. He, like every other artist, is waiting for Omicron to slow down.
Gotcha.
To put shows on sale. And so we pushed off a lot of on sales till February. Right now, he's planning to announce Monday, and we'll hope and wait. And it's the one that hasn't retired, so everybody knows who that is.
Right.
And, well, the other lead singer announces retirement.
Right, that's one down. Okay. Yeah.
Can I tell you, I'm constantly asked about him. I know you're constantly asked about him. Anytime the tribe called in, they constantly ask you about him. When I'm home alone with Jennifer, I'm constantly asked about him.
Wow.
No, this is, you know, this
it's a thing.
Yeah, this is another sellout, mm-hmm. No doubt.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be great. It'll be at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. We'll announce the date. We'll announce the support, which is really nice. It's a great show. The band is great. He's got great members of his band with him.
Cool.
Which will be nice.
And he does Van Halen songs.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
He should. He wrote them.
Yeah.
Kind of has to.
That's what everybody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Today is the 15th anniversary of the implosion of the New Haven Coliseum.
Oh.
Jimmy, I'm not sure if that building would have been, well, I'm sure it wouldn't have been how we feel about it and think about it if not for you.
Well, I appreciate that. I think the great history of the Coliseum, and they had many, you know, they had the Nighthawks and they had great wrestling matches there. But I think what people remember most are the concerts.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Taking away nothing that, you know, I love watching, you know, on Facebook, seeing the great wrestling matches that were there back in the 70s and 80s. I was a pretty big wrestling fan. And then I wasn't a hockey fan, but the Nighthawks really were considered the home team of the of the Coliseum. Sometimes piss me off, tell you the truth.
Why is that scheduling?
I couldn't get a concert in, and they'd have a hockey game with 1,000 people, and I'd be trying to get Motley Crue in there, which would draw 10,000 people, and I couldn't get Motley Crue there. And
put him on ice.
It's like, can't
Motley Crue on ice.
That would be fun to watch.
Yeah, wow!
One of them did get hit in the head.
Or have him play during the game. Nothing like a fight during a Motley Crue song.
Exactly.
Can't
well,
you
I
have
think
the
what happened
Nighthawks?
At Motley Crue was probably more exciting than most hockey games.
It's true.
Tonight. Yeah, no doubt.
Yep, more attention.
That April date in 1990 lives in infamy.
Yes.
What was your introduction to the Coliseum? How did you go about that business deal? Do you remember driving up there and knocking on the door saying, hi, I'd like to make concerts here?
Well, yeah, I do remember it because I was doing shows at the arena in 72, 73, and 74. And the Coliseum opened in 74. So,
the arena is not the Coliseum.
Right, no. The New Haven Arena, we did the last show there, which was September 29th, 1972. Then the Coliseum, wow. I think, opened up in 73. So we
was
just
the arena in the same
over.
Spot as the
no,
Coliseum?
The arena is where the AT&T parking lot is right now on Grove Street.
No.
That's where the arena was. It was a 6,000-seat old hockey rink, and that was in 1972. It was old, so I can't imagine what year it was built.
Okay, and then that was where Jim Morrison was arrested, at the arena.
That's correct, at the arena. Yes, okay. At the arena.
So that closes, and you're doing shows there. And then they're closing it, and they must have been constructing the Coliseum while the arena was still open.
That's correct.
And did you approach them as they were constructing it, saying, hey, I'd like to bring my business here?
Yes. And they were very slow in welcoming me because they didn't want rock and roll shows there.
Oh.
The mayor was really a jerk, right? And
what was his name, Richard Jerk? That.
And he felt rock and roll was the devil's music and not want it in his brand new Coliseum. So we agreed that the first show we would try there would be a rock band that he knew their name and he trusted they probably would be good. So we put the Beach Boys in there. And
that's the first band to play at the New Haven Coliseum.
Yes,
with that's
the Beach
cool.
Boys.
That's cool.
Who were coming off a very strong tour because they were very popular with the PLR listeners. Fox didn't exist back then, so it was the PLR listeners, because they went from a singles band in the 60s to an album band in the 70s, and we had just sold out Dillon Stadium in Hartford with them during the summer, and this was in November, and we brought them in there, and they were rock fans in there. People with long hair, and the building manager was shocked. He said, where'd all these rock and rollers come from?
Good heavens.
He thought there'd be a bunch of surfboards in there.
Yeah, you know? Something's wrong here.
Yeah,
people with turtleneck sputters.
Great heavens.
Yeah, exactly, right. And they left the surfboards in the 60s and got into other things like drugs and craziness in the 70s, the Beach Boys, and that's who they brought in. The audience that liked drugs and craziness.
Yeah, so facial hair and everything.
He was, it's true, you're right.
What's that funny smell in the air?
It's some kind of a weed of some sort.
Well, he smelled it backstage when the mayor came to welcome us. He smelled that funny smell backstage.
Oops.
Then I walked out of my office. I said, oh, hello.
That's great.
Hang on.
How old are you at this time?
Well, it was 1973. I was 24 years old.
You're 24.
You spring Lysol on the air.
Smoking weed with the Beach Boys in a brand new Coliseum, and you walk out the door. It's like, oh, there's the mayor.
Yeah, that's a buzzkill.
Yeah,
the
Carl
guy
Wilson.
I said we wouldn't have pot smokers here.
You and Carl Wilson's eyes face. Were Carl Wilson's eyes were glazed.
I don't know where that smell's coming from.
Yeah,
this is terrific.
Yeah, so we welcomed, but everybody behaved, so it opened up the door for me to bring more rock and roll shows in there, because although it was the Beach Boys and we fooled the mayor, he saw that actually we could control this sort of what they considered devil's music.
I'm thinking of four large pizzas.
And in the end, a mayor just wants business and people to come into the city.
Yes, he did not want the Coliseum to cost the city any money, so he was very happy we paid rent there. We used to do 20 to 25 shows there a year, which is basically one every, 2 weeks. Although the summertime, we didn't do that much there. We were usually outdoors at Dillon Stadium or Cole Park with shows. So we had a lot of shows there. I mean, it was really
extra special.
A lot of shows there.
It's interesting because now when venues are built, they're built for concerts and maybe some other events. Back then, that was built for other events. And, we could also have shows here.
Maybe.
So when that was being constructed and you're cutting the deal to like, hey, I'll bring some shows in here. They weren't asking you, hey, what do you think about this? Or should we put the ceiling this high or what? None of that, right?
No, they never realized that the money, most money being made by arenas is actually from concerts, not from sports teams. Certainly minor league sports teams.
Right.
And they built it for the circus and for sports teams. And we ended up making more money for the Coliseum than probably both of them put together.
Oh, nice. No and doubt. Then times like 10.
Yep.
Or more. Oh, no doubt. I mean, you talk to anyone, everybody just remembers it as a concert venue most of all, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it really had a special flavor to it for concerts. You know, it was another hockey arena. It was another circus event arena. But concerts, it had a specialty to it when it came to concerts. I think that the soul of the building ended up being concerts.
No doubt.
Yeah. And it just happened. You know, it was an ugly building. And if we brought somebody really classy in like Whitney Houston, she couldn't sell tickets there. Because it was an ugly building that audience did not want to go to. They wanted to go to the pretty building up in Hartford.
Oh.
But when you brought a rock and roll band in there, the rockers didn't want to go to Hartford. They wanted to go to New Haven. So it really was built on the reputation of rock fans.
That circular ramp in the parking garage was pretty cool.
Not really.
As a kid, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay.
Going into the show was fine, but getting out of the
getting
show,
out.
Yeah,
you were so spaced out.
It was fun.
Yep. If you had a couple scary. Of cars with exhaust pipes, this is before emissions.
Yeah. Cars
yeah,
running
you,
rich.
Because you're already stoned.
Yeah.
Now it's a whole nother level. But man, the amount of memories there just from the concerts that you brought us, great memories. I mean.
Yes.
Just
amazing.
There should be a list. Like, it would blow our minds if you put together a list of all the shows you put there.
Wow.
Of all these groups, before their stardom and during their stardom.
The peak even, yeah.
Some
yeah.
of them came as openers and then became.
Left as headliners.
Headliners.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there were artists that asked to play the New Haven Coliseum. Billy Joel always wanted to play the Coliseum because he's a Long Island boy, grew up on the North Shore, listened to PLR.
Nice.
And always wanted to come to the Coliseum, heard all the Coliseum ads, and said, I want to play the Coliseum. And he would start most of his tours at the New Haven Coliseum because he could drive home after a rehearsal and come back and go home. But it wasn't in his hometown. He liked not having to open up in his hometown, which usually he played Nassau Coliseum. So he would like to play somewhere near his hometown, but not his hometown, just, you know, because he had to get his show set first and rehearsed well first before he went out on the road. So he usually saw it in Connecticut, but mostly in New Haven.
It's funny because the artist that came to the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater and walked backstage and looked at those suites, those rock artists remember coming up through the ranks and playing New Haven Coliseums of the world.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is,
oh, yeah. My God.
REO and I talked about that because they played the Coliseum a lot. And Styx, we were all sitting together backstage at the amphitheater in Bridgeport, and we had great discussions about the New Haven Coliseum. They all remembered the New Haven Coliseum.
And Jimmy, were you there?
No, it was too early in the morning. It was 8 a.m. on a Saturday in January, as you know.
And, oh, yeah.
I said, you know what? I'll watch it on TV. I watched it on Channel 8.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was, and everybody had to be outside, and nobody invited me. So I said, I'm not going to just stand there with everybody else freezing my butt off.
The thing was thriving until you left. And then they're like, well, we can't pay for this anymore.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
Oh, Jimmy's gone.
No Jimmy.
Is that kind of how it happened?
Yeah, the fellow who ran the Coliseum back when it started to go downhill is no longer with us. And he really did not get the concept that the bands were so important, the artists were so important. He thought he was more important than the building was. And artists started to feel that they were not treated right there. And all of a sudden, in the early 90s, I guess it was the early 90s when artists started to say, you know what, maybe we won't play the Coliseum. I never had heard that before. But this fellow that ran the Coliseum insisted that everybody backstage had to have tickets for the show. And I would say to him, but they're not going into the show. They're backstage. And it all blew up at a Billy Idol show when his girlfriend at the time, Perry, I remember her name was Perry, came in and she didn't have a ticket, and he got in an argument with me and her. She needs a ticket. And I said, but she's sitting backstage. She's not going to, why waste a seat on her? So, and he got in a big screaming match with me and Billy Idol and his girlfriend.
What a jerk.
He wanted more and more and more.
And boy, did that reverberate through the industry.
Wow.
The building manager fighting with Billy Idol, who had sold out the Coliseum at that time.
Stupid ticket.
It was hot in the city that night.
I tried to stop it, and he just went crazier and crazier. And Billy Idol was very calm and nice about it, I must say.
He's a gentleman.
Because he knew he was going to call a bunch of people.
Did he do that lip thing?
Yep.
The snare.
Well, almost sneer at you for a second here.
Wow. And then so you decide, maybe this place ain't for me. So what do? You build Xfinity, or what did you do?
We built Xfinity, and we started putting shows up there, and the Hartford Civic Center started to get very busy also. We waited about 5 years later. Bridgeport opened up. The arena in Bridgeport opened up, so we started to put shows there. But the Coliseum lost its luster when that night, the Billy Idol night, was really the beginning of the end. It took, you know, a few years, but that was the beginning of the end that night we had Billy Idol.
No more money,
wow.
Money.
It's sad when you can just point to one moment.
Yeah.
It was one person. It wasn't even one moment. It was one person who just didn't understand the business. I mean, I always said, what do you do for business? I kiss superstars' asses all the time. Ooh, I hope that got on the radio. I said, but they're the ones who bring the people in. It's my job to.
Yeah.
To make sure they're happy. So, but this gentleman did not understand that.
Wow.
Business.
Did he go on to ruin anything else?
No. He ended up retiring, and they brought in a couple of other general managers to try to juice it up.
Bring it back. I'm sure they were taking you out to lunch.
Stop the bleeding,
Jimmy, to get you back.
Yeah.
They were doing so much. And look, it, you know what? It happened, and I started to bring shows back. I brought Tool in there. I brought Rage Against the Machine in there.
Wow.
But the fans sort of lost its their interest in the building once we took a hiatus. It's just like most other things. When you stop doing things that you're used to doing, it's hard to get back into it again.
Oh, yeah.
Find other things in life and other interests.
But when you go to Xfinity, you know, and then you go to the Coliseum, and now you know the difference. I remember the first time I walked in Xfinity, much like the first time I walked in Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. I'm like, wow, this is luxurious.
My jaw dropped.
You know, then you'd go into a cold cement block building in New Haven that needed to be refurbished 20 years earlier. And when Robert Plant played Misty Mountain Hop, pieces of the ceiling were coming down.
Yeah, it was hopping.
You happen to be right, but that also was what made the building kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's a good point. It ended up being old and dilapidated compared to the Hartford Civic Center and any other arena that was getting built. And as the audience got older, they also wanted more comfort.
Yeah.
And the city never put any money into the Coliseum.
I wonder if the guy that you had a fight with hired the security guard that broke my hash pipe.
Oh. We'll find him.
I forgot which band it was. They come on. I light up my hash pipe. He grabs it out of my hand, a ceramic pipe, and he like taps it out on the ground, and it snaps in half.
Jerk.
I'm like, that was unnecessary.
Yeah, come on.
To break my pipe.
I would have gave you some.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, that's part of the concert experience. Not having your hash pipe broken, but smoking the hash is
exactly
part of the
right
experience.
Enhances the music.
I'm sure that guy you're talking about hired the guy that broke my pipe. So.
Well, it certainly wasn't me, because my unspoken rule was don't stop people from drinking beer or smoking pot. That's part of the experience.
Yeah.
It's the experience.
Excuse me, Mr. Security Guard, can I borrow your pencil?
Right.
Right. How do you like it?
Thank you very much.
It sells the big pretzels.
But he handed me back
the pieces.
It's just a little broken piece.
I didn't want to steal it.
Here you go. I think I broke a toy.
Later, 30 years later, you remember that.
Oh, see? You're right. I remember that.
Yeah. I remember going to Madison Square Garden, and I'm sitting watching a Paul McCartney show, and a stranger passes me a joint. I'm holding the joint. All of a sudden, the flashlight flashes on me holding the joint.
Oh.
Wait a second. This
like,
is
hey, are you
mine.
Jimmy Gobblik?
Maybe I'm amazed.
I'm the middle man here.
He looks amazed.
So, you can sometimes get in the garden. Used to flashlight you, and I went to the head of the garden because they did shows at the garden. I said, that's part of the concert experience.
Yeah, stop shining the light.
Seriously, yeah.
Really?
So we're going to play the implosion, and Jimmy, we got to do a part two on this next week because there's just too many concert memories.
Yeah.
I'm going to put together a list of some of the shows, and we'll let the tribe chime in. And
all that.
Yeah, but here is the sound of the New Haven Coliseum 15 years ago today going down.
It's a perfect implosion.
Yeah.
Comes down right in place.
Actually, that was Kiss playing.
It really sounds like the beginning of a Kiss show. But the part of that video I like that no one really thought out is that, you know, the cops are holding a perimeter around
the cloud.
The building,
oh, my
and
God.
You see this dust cloud.
That's the greatest video ever.
Barreling towards them. And they look over. They're like, oh.
They just tore out.
And they run.
Oh, my God. In full uniform, man. They booked it. Awesome.
All right, Jimmy, we'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you, brother. Reporter got hit by a car. I know, I didn't...
wasn't sure what hit
didn't
the bell
punctuate
there.
That one.
Right.
I guess that's enough. Who's the dumbass? The person who hit her, right?
Definitely.
I'm guessing.
Okay, well, let's listen. And thanks to Steve Soylent for sending this.
And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze-thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Jory.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay.
Hold on.
Did he just say it's a first for you on TV?
Yes, he did.
Why? There are other things that happened to her? Well, it's the first time I get by a car.
Oh,
man. One time I get by lightning.
This feels like...
She's a klutz.
Yeah, this guy was not surprised she got hit by a car.
He spilled coffee in my lap yesterday.
There could be a reason.
Yep. She's a klutz.
I got to find this video now.
It's great. Also, this car definitely just not paying attention. I mean, she's like a one-man band kind of reporter, so she's got her own camera set up with the light and everything. The car's driving from behind her, so coming towards the light. You have to be able to see her. There's no excuse for that.
Why is she in the road?
She's reporting on water main breaks.
Okay.
This is what he just said, is he? Yeah. Unfortunately, freeze thaw.
Okay, and then this thing hits her.
Oh my gosh, I just got hit by a car.
You dropped a baton?
I just got hit.
It's her microphone.
Oh.
It does sound like she had a prosthetic leg on and it came off.
Or she's holding a vuvuzela. You know, the classic
yeah,
things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's the first for you on TV, Jory.
We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good.
You know, the anchor still didn't ask, are you okay?
Not at all yet. No.
Well, that's a first for you.
Man, she hit the camera pretty hard, too.
Yeah. No, everything went down. She went down. Camera went down. Microphone went down.
I see little birdies, a little news report microphones in their hands. Yep. Oh, my God. Really? Really?
Oh, I gotta look at this video.
I'm watching it now.
I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know what? It's, one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Troy?
We're good.
Finally.
Yeah. 38 seconds into the event.
This guy sounds like he's one of those old school journalists.
Yeah, look at the
who went to school to be a serious journalist, and now he sees this. He's like, and she's gonna go viral again.
Oh my god! I mean, if you saw the suit he's wearing,
I went to school. She got hit by a car.
People were really hating on him on the internet, and someone was like, you know, all he has is the prompter. They were just gonna throw to her package. He can't necessarily see what's happening or what happened.
Well, you start typing in reporter, and up comes reporter hit by car.
But you know what? She's taking it. She's laughing. Like a little bit of her hair got messed up under her hat, but that's about it.
Well, she definitely sounds frantic, like she's trying to recover.
Yeah.
Well, she just went live.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's a raise right there.
Nope. She's leaving the station. This is her last week with this station.
Is it really?
She had already announced on her Twitter page that she was going to another station. So this is like her last week with this station.
I hope good things for her.
In freeze thaw, we see this. Water main breaks.
That looked painful.
Yes. Yeah.
Because her face went right towards the camera. Like,
yes.
You're like the horse in Animal House. Went,
I was thinking maybe this is a fake job because she's going to another station.
I don't think so.
No. That is not faked. No,
big car, too. Big vehicle.
Big.
Oh, this dude's bad, too. It took him a long time to say, are you okay?
38 seconds.
And who buys a suit like that?
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay. Okay, Tim.
That's the first for you on TV, Jory.
That's the first one.
This guy's got to, you got to let this guy go. Yeah. He's got to go.
What?
That's your follow-up questions here?
You're a newsman.
Yeah.
This is now the story. She's covering a water main break because there's no news. You don't go out like, all right, did we cover the building fire where 8 people were trapped or the water main break? No, there's no news.
Right.
What are we going to do today? I don't know. There's a water main break. Okay, go cover that.
Have her stand in the street.
So now he asks someone on live television hit by a car. He looks aggravated.
That's a first.
That's a first for you.
Well, it's not like
his face when he looks at the camera, he's pissed. Like, really?
I was going to do a follow-up on the
You ruined water my main. Whole intro.
I had a water main
I'm
break.
I'm okay.
Joke.
Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know.
Oh, she does her own camera work.
Because she's got to pick everything up now. She had it all set up. She was framed right.
Yeah.
And then the car knocked down.
Oh my God!
She's got to pick everything up again.
They call it a one man show.
Yeah,
you know they used to go out and cruise where you'd have a sound, and a camera person
for a water
and then
main
it was
break.
Just a camera person and a reporter.
But now with COVID, they probably go by themselves.
No, now there's a lot of cutbacks. So there's just reporters going out. You set up your camera, you do your own audio check back to the station. You're setting up the whole feed.
It's one
sure
woman band.
Okay,
we're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you
are so sweet, and you are okay. It is all good.
She's basically apologizing to the woman who hit her, saying, you're so sweet.
I was in your way. Sorry.
Oh, Lord.
So you...
You know, it's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from looking.
Oh,
Really, that's the question you ask? Were you hit up high, hit low?
Yeah.
That poor girl.
I don't even. Do you know if that was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know. I don't even know, Tim. My whole life just flashed before my eyes.
I think a mirror caught her.
This is live TV and everything's okay. I thought I was in a safe spot, but clearly, we might need to move the camera over a bit.
Yeah.
So let me do that while I'm thinking of it.
Now, just to set the stage for you once again, Tori's in an area right now. There would have been a water main break, so there.
Yeah, let's go back to the water main
break.
Because that's so much more important than a human being being hit by a car live on ours. No one else has this.
One of your people. One of your people.
Stay focused over there, please.
Just got mowed down.
This guy's been like trained really hard on the art of reading the teleprompter, throwing it to the reporter, throws back to you.
And now
you read the teleprompter.
Yes.
There is a format here that you are not following,
Mr. Robot Newsman.
Yes, exactly.
I don't even know what to ask you. Were you hit up high or low?
What kind of a question is that?
Emergency vehicles around there. And a lot of times what we have seen in those kind of situations are when emergency vehicles are around, there's a lot of confusion from people about drivers, about where to go. So it's possible
people
that's
get
what
distracted
happened there.
It's possible someone was confused and they hit you. Or maybe they hit you on purpose.
She also sounds like she has had many coffees.
Yeah. Sorry, you didn't even see the car
coming. Oh, God, that woman was so nice, though.
Yeah.
She didn't even...
get hit by an Escalade.
She can't even think straight. The poor girl.
First of all, you can get hit by a car, jump right up, talk, and not be fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, she was hit hard enough where it's, maybe you should go to a hospital.
Like, right? Like, your leg's on the ground there still. That's okay. I'm good.
It was an accident. I know it was, and I'm okay. Everything's fine. But again, Tim, we'll get back to the report, right? Yep. We're on Roxalana Hills Drive in Dunbar. This is where...
No. You don't get back to the report. This is now...
You are the report.
This is... Wow.
You got to give her credit for trying to carry on.
Oh, I do.
And do her job.
She's
great. I mean?
She's a professional.
Yeah.
Big time, yeah. Show must go on.
She's great. The new management must be like, hey... Do more of that getting hit by car stuff. That was great.
If you could.
To feel free to
make small cars.
There's a day where water main break is the big live hit. Please feel free to just set up right out in the middle of the road.
Take one for the team.
Someone at that news station definitely saw this and was like, jackpot.
Yeah, we got her.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. This anchor is just
water
such
main
a
break it.
Poo
yeah,
face.
Yeah, he's
a poo face.
He's tough.
Interesting.
This is what happens sometimes in these cold weathers. Megan Hannah's
in these cold. Are we going to click a pen for her, too?
Okay.
In these cold weathers?
She was hit by a car.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the first sign she should go to the hospital, by the way.
Right.
The blood around her brain is starting.
Quite
like, all right.
Yep.
Maybe you should go to the hospital. Have the camera crew go to the hospital.
Right,
now, here
you.
She is. Here's the video from earlier. She was live. She was hit by a car. Now we're at the hospital.
Right.
She has to set up her own camera.
This
Hold
just
on.
In.
She's yeah. in a Johnny coat.
Right.
She said that while they can't say for sure it's from the cold weather, they can say that it could be a possibility just due to those extreme temperatures.
A car just pulled up behind her. I think it's the girl who just hit her.
And kind of swinging, you something that we've seen. But so far, it's just rain. And clearly, you know, roads are a little slick. And
can I get you some munchkins?
You want to sit inside here and get warm for a moment?
We got to get her on the phone.
Yeah.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.